Welcome to Reset Your Mindset with Angie Z. I'm super excited to have you here today to share inspirational stories from entrepreneurs around the world that provide you with valuable lessons and mindset strategies to enable you to play the game of life your way.
Your mindset has a lot to do with the people that you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
So surround yourself with inspiring, positive, like-minded people is going to directly affect your mindset.
Without a doubt. I see that as a common mistake that people make, particularly if their friends aren't entrepreneurs. Do you know what I mean? And they get stuck in that mediocrity, or, you know, people not happy with their life or that type of thing, you know, that drama cycle, if you like, all of that comes into play. So if you're not hanging out with people that are at your level or are doing, you know, things greater than what you're achieving at the moment, how are you possibly going to lift yourself up and keep moving forward? Do you know what I mean? Like, because we become like the people we hang out with. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm, mm.
Having a big why.
Mm. Yep.
If you have a big why or mission, you can call it why or mission, whatever. If you have a big enough why or mission, that helps you stay focused on your end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you be less distracted.
Yep.
Along the journey.
Mm. So what's yours, just in like a sentence or two?
My mission is to empower women to become wildly wealthy, fabulously healthy, and bursting with love.
That's gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. So how long did it take you to come up with that?
A couple of years.
Did it? Yeah. So you obviously knew there was all the elements to it, but putting it together so beautifully was a different story.
Yes, exactly. So from day one, I always knew I wanted to empower women and help women unlock their full potential.
Yeah.
And I wanted to help them with their health and their career and their love. And I just didn't have a mission statement yet.
Mm.
And it was actually a brainstorming session between my husband and I where we came up with that exact sentence. I want to empower women to become wildly wealthy, fabulously healthy, and bursting with love. And it was just like, oh, yeah, that's it. That is it.
Yeah. And immediately, as soon as you hear that, you understand exactly what you're about, but know that it makes you feel amazing. Like when I hear you say that, just I can't help but smile, you know, like I feel really happy just hearing you say that. So that's incredible. That's how you want to feel ultimately as well. You want others to feel that as well. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess with passion, I believe we're here to do what you're passionate about and to share that with the world.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's everyone's birthright. But so many people have such a loud ego, mean girl or bad boy, that they let that stop them from finding what they're passionate about and doing it.
Mm.
So we all have the right to find what we're passionate about. We all have the right to live that and share it with the world. I believe that's one of our truest gifts that we can give to the world. And my purpose is the same as my mission and same as my why. My purpose is to empower women to become, like, that's my purpose of why I do everything that I do.
Yep.
But worthiness really affects everything.
Mm.
Worthiness affects what you do for a living, because if you have that internal voice that's saying you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, who do you think you are trying to start your own business, you didn't go to university, you don't have an MBA, like you do this. If you have that inner voice that's telling you those things, that is going to be a massive roadblock.
Mm, mm.
So we need to dial up your worthiness.
Yeah.
If worthiness was on a scale of 1 to 10,
mm-hmm.
10 being bursting with worthiness and 0 being I feel like a worthless piece of crap on someone's shoe.
Yeah.
Where do you sit on the scale? Like for me, many years ago, I was probably around a 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a result, my life was an absolute shambles. But over the years, I've learned to dial up my worthiometer to sit at 10. And as a result, my life looks very different how it does back then.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean some days I slip down. Some days something might happen or I feel triggered by something and I might slip down to like an 8 or a 9. But I have the tools now to dial me back up to a 10 quite quickly. That's what you want to master the art of doing.
Most definitely.
And in my book, I give a couple of worthiness meditations. But it's a matter of awareness, seeing and going, right, okay, I feel like a 6 on the worthiometer right now. That isn't my birthright. My birthright is to feel like a 10.
Mm-hmm.
So what can I do to get myself back up to a 10?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a matter of I've decided I'm a 10.
Mm.
Sometimes you might have to go to a meditation. You might have to go and have a bath. You might have to go and read my book or do something to help you get back into that space of feeling like a 10. But it doesn't have to be a torturous experience. You could get there in a moment.
So, again, so it sounds like it's more the mindset again. But, I mean, for people who really struggle with this, say, for example, when you were at a 3, what were the kind of things that were blocking you from getting to a 10?
My ego, my inner critic.
Yeah.
Bingo.
So criticizing yourself or just negative thoughts, like.
Yeah. My mean girl was telling me that I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not successful enough, I can't do this, I can't do that, no one's going to buy this, no one's going to listen to that. Comparing me to others.
Yeah, comparison's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think so many people struggle with this, or why are they at that, towards that lower end of the scale, do you think?
Social conditioning, dogma.
Yes.
Society dogma, where fear is bred into us from a very young age. Fear, driven into us. Don't step out of the box.
Yeah.
Stay small in your box. Don't shine out.
Very true, very true. So I guess it's a blend of things, the society, the environment we grew up in, all those sort of things, who you surrounded yourself with back then even, all those sort of things. And it sounds like a lot of self-love again. So not, if you being your own worst enemy basically, that's going to cause you to have no worthiness.
Absolutely.
So basically to get to a 10, you need to do the opposite of everything, so change your environment. Get rid of that fear, have more positive thoughts. So, for example, if you're having a bad day, what would you do? Or how would you shift your mindset quickly back?
What would I do?
Yeah.
I would do my daily practice of meditation and yoga.
Yeah.
And I'd take time out for me to go flex my self-love muscle. And take time out to go and fill myself up. I would go for a walk in nature. I would go for a swim in the ocean. I would, get outside, get away from behind my computer and do something that's going to fill me up. Maybe it's having a bath or having a cup of tea in the sun. I just mix it up. Tony Robbins calls it changing your state.
Yes.
So I change my state. I would change my environment and change my state.
That's awesome. Yeah. Makes sense. And they're beautiful things to do, and you're so right. If your cup's not empty or half full, you're not going to be able to help anyone, definitely. Yeah. Okay, anything else around that, what they can do?
I guess awareness is just so key.
Like,
you're aware of the internal mind games that your mean girl or bad boy is playing with you, then once you are aware, you can't unknow what you already know. So you've shone light on something that's dark.
Mm.
And the way that you move through that, the way that you master that inner critic is that there's three steps. The first step is awareness.
Yeah.
Once you are aware, you can't unknow what you now know. Unless you fall over and have a serious head injury.
Yeah.
Memory is wiped.
Yep.
You can't pretend that you aren't you know that you're self-sabotaging right now. You know, you can't pretend. So awareness is key. The second step is closing the door gently on that thought.
Yep.
So if that thought comes in that you're not smart enough or you're not successful enough or you didn't go to university, let's gently close the door on that thought. It's like you would, you know, if an annoying salesperson comes knocking on your door, you wouldn't let them in to come in and do their spiel. You'd say thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know? So when that thought comes up of, oh, I'm not smart enough to start my own business, or I didn't go to university like so-and-so, so I'm not good enough, thank you, but no thank you. And then the third step is to choose love instead.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was probably one of my favorite things from your book. Choose love over fear, wasn't it? Yeah.
So we choose love instead. You know, what would love say? What would love do?
Mm.
It's a very simple three-step process, but that doesn't mean it's always easy, because your mean girl's not going to give up without a fight.
Yes.
She is going to be kicking and screaming and chucking a temper tantrum the whole day. You've got to have your own back 100%.
Mm. Yep.
You've got to wholeheartedly believe in your message, and if your why or your mission is strong enough, you will automatically wholeheartedly believe in your message.
So it's linked to the why. So you got to okay.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Having your back, surrounding yourself with an epic team.
How did you start to create your team? Like, when was that journey? When did that start?
You know, from day one.
Did you?
Okay. I've hired different people. I've let go of different people. And, you know, it's always evolving. You know, this is one thing in this entrepreneurial world that I have learned, is that it is always, always evolving.
You
can be on this path and then something will switch and you'll go, right, we're now heading down this path. And you've got to be adaptable. And
yeah. Yep.
You've got to be able to pivot and pivot fast.
Mm.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Mm. Get over it and pivot quickly. Lisa Messenger says fail and fail fast.
Yep.
I say pivot and pivot fast. Because fail comes with negative connotations.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't believe anything is a failure. I believe everything is a lesson.
Mm. Yeah,
so I don't say fail in my business. I say, right, okay, cool, this has happened, she's left, or we've got to get rid of her, we've now got to pivot. Let's pivot and let's do it quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's move on.
Can you give us an example of when you've had to pivot, like maybe not just with a team member but just in your business, say with opportunities that have come your way or that? What would be an example?
Yeah, so I've definitely had to pivot with staff. I mean, we've had staff that we have had to let go quite quickly and had to just move on. So staff, definitely. Another thing is my business is very much built on intuition and heart. It's a heart-centered business.
Yeah.
So for me, at the very start of last year, I started working on a 30-person mastermind that I wanted to create.
Yep.
And we did the sales pages, we did the videos, was all ready to go. We'd spent thousands of dollars on setting up this mastermind platform.
Mm.
And I woke up one day and I was like, I don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. My intuition was like, don't do it. So that's a place where we had to pivot and pivot fast. And my ego was like, but you've spent so much money and you've spent so much time. And I was like, my intuition was saying no.
Mm.
That is an example where I had to pivot and pivot quickly.
Wow. So what ended up happening to it? Or did you just forego? Just let it go.
Let it go.
Move on. Next.
Another example last year is I was about to put on a massive national tour around Australia.
Mm.
think like a Tony Robbins style event.
Yep.
And again, we'd sold tickets. We had venues booked.
Wow.
Had sales pages done. We'd spent thousands and thousands of dollars. And due to my health at that time, and also my intuition, my team and I decided that we're not going to do it. Mm. And it was just another time where we're like, right, we're not doing it. Let's make the decision. Let's pivot, and let's pivot fast.
Mm. Mm. Was there any like consequences as a result of that, apart from obviously money loss, but was there anything, you know, like with clients or anyone, you know?
Not that I saw directly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know though if the people who had bought tickets, we refunded them, of course.
Mm. Mm.
But I don't know. People might have said things. I don't know. I wasn't exposed to it. So
yeah. Maybe. Yeah. No, that makes sense. It's so true. And you just know there's something that just tells you, you know, or things will crop up, you know, different issues and what that along the way. And you'll just go, no, this just doesn't seem right. It's, you know, maybe not the right time, or it's not right for me right now, or whatever the reason is. So it's quite interesting. And yeah, it can be a little bit upsetting along the way as well. But
yeah, that doesn't mean you're not going to feel angry and upset and frustrated and overwhelmed, because I feel all of those things.
Yeah.
But you know how to move through them. Like once you have these tools in your tool belt, you know how to move through these times, you know? You know those times when we have to pivot? Yes, it's incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I feel sick to my stomach. Yes. And what I'm saying is not that you will never feel emotion and you'll only feel rainbows and butterflies for the rest of your life, because if anyone actually tells you that, they're full of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know anyone who feels rainbows and butterflies all the time.
No, no way.
We are going to experience anger, frustration, overwhelm, stress.
Yeah.
But if you have these tools of how to master your mind.
I love that. Yeah.
Able to quickly return back to your truth, which is love, quicker than sitting in fear.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's what it's all about. Getting back to it, you know, all the time, because of that frequency as well. We're always, you know, have our certain frequency, and the minute we go too low, obviously that attracts, you know, different experiences for us as well. So it is important that we get back to a high frequency as well, back to love. Yeah. Yeah, and attracts all amazing things once you're in that space.
Exactly.
So what other tools are there to master your mind, do you believe?
I guess that three-step process is the most powerful.
Yep. How do people find out their actual why, do you think? Like, it's sure, they've got a bit of a, you know, a bit like what you said, you know what you want to do every day and what you want for your audience, what you want to achieve, what the ultimate goal is. But I guess how do you really connect with yourself to find out exactly what your why is? Because I know for me personally, I've pivoted quite a few times, so mine changes as well. Does that make sense? And I don't want it to, but I need to get to a point where, yeah, it just, I guess it's back to that intuition and that heart, and I feel I'm at that place now.
I think it's going to pivot and it's going to evolve.
Yeah, yeah.
And the more in tune you are with yourself, the clearer the message.
Yeah.
So when there's people that aren't sure of their why, they're not really sure of who they are. And that's okay. That's okay. They maybe just need to do a little bit more soul searching.
Yeah.
Well, not soul searching. I don't like that word either, because that kind of implies that you've got to go to India and meditate on a rock. And that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is just close your eyes and go inward and ask yourself, what lights me up?
Yeah.
You know, what can I see myself doing indefinitely. Like, what really lights me up? That's a great place to start.
I think you're right too, because a lot of people don't often take that time for themselves, or, you know, to meditate or really get to know themselves. It's a bit like when people, you know, that people that move from relationship to relationship because they don't want to be by themselves ever, or they've always got to be with a friend, so they're like hyperactive with social life, you know. Oh no, I can't be at home for a minute by myself. I've got to be here, there and everywhere. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, because they're scared to be on their own. And ask themselves these questions, because it's not always the easiest thing for people, I guess. They're scared probably of the answers too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that means they might have to pivot if they actually look up the answers. It might mean, okay, you know, it's uncomfortable sometimes to sit with ourselves. But when we do, it's always growth on the other side. When we shimmy through the discomfort, you know, of launching a product or of launching a book or starting a business, it's uncomfortable. It's a lot of fear. But when you shimmy your way through it with as much ease and grace as you possibly can, there's always growth on the other side. Always.
Very true.
Our job is to just have the courage to shimmy our way through it in the first place.
I love that, shimmy our way through.
I used to say fumble. I used to say fumble our way through it, but then I'm like, but then I'm implying that I'm always going to fumble. So I'm going to change my dialogue, and I'm not going to say fumble anymore. I'm going to say shimmy, because, you know, you like to shimmy your way.
Well, you do. It's exactly right. And like you were saying before, adapt. So, you know, you're shimmering your way through that as well.
It's not like, it's not going to be a smooth sail through, you know. It's going to be some shimmying.
Yeah. You're gorgeous. Love it. All right. Awesome. Thank you for listening to The Movement, where we help you shift your heart and mind to excel in every area of your life. We appreciate any comments and your support. Feel free to leave a review on iTunes and subscribe to our latest updates on angelinazimmerman.com.